Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. Oh, we really are starting.
Yeah, we're running late.
Oh, there we go. All right. Wait, who starts? I start. Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Rizdal. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. We are late. God, we're a minute late.
I know. And I'm Kimberly Adams. Thank you for joining us this Monday. We are going to do the news and then share a couple of make me smiles. And we will start first, though, with the news fix, although I do want to identify that I am in L.A. alone in the studio.
You're just calling me out.
Yes, it's
look,
called throwing
just,
you under the
just,
bus.
Yes. I mean, you know, I'll be there at some
That's
point.
That's okay.
Whatever. Should I go first?
Yes, go why first. Don't you How go first okay. since I just threw you under the bus.
All right. I try, as I think I've said before on this podcast, not to repeat content from Marketplace and on this podcast just because, you know, why do that? But I had a very quick item at the end of the show, the radio show today, that I think deserves maybe like 60 seconds. So Ford Motor Company announced this morning that it's going to lay off 3,000 white-collar workers. Now, that is some really small fraction of its total white-collar workforce. But the reason, said the CEO of Ford Motor Company and chairman of the board, also William Ford, they said, look, we need to right-size. We need to trim down our internal combustion engine division as we transition to electric. This will make me no friends, but this is what is supposed to happen. As economies change, as industries changed, as we have what Schumpeter called creative destruction, this is what has to happen, right? The industries and the people who work in those parts of the industries that are no longer being used by society. And look, we all love our internal combustion engine cars or motorcycles or what have you, but they're not the future. Right. Yeah. The futures are the electric Ford F-150 truck, the Mach-E Ford Mustang. Those are the future for the Ford Motor Company. And yes, they're laying off 3,000 white collar workers today. I promise you that they're going to hire 10,000 white collar workers to make the electrics work, to 15,000 white collar workers to make the electrics work as that company transitions. And it's just an important sort of marker when you have an old line industrial company saying, you know what, we got to do this now so we can be better later. And that's going to sound heartless, but that's what it is.
I would really love to read a piece, and I'm sure it exists somewhere, and I'm sure people will send it to me, about what the transition was like after the invention of the tractor. Because I feel like we're in that kind of moment where one of the fundamental things that underpins the economy is changing. And what that adjustment looked like in people's lives. Because when a huge chunk of the workforce used to be dedicated to like just maintaining fields, and we still have plenty of farm workers, but a lot fewer than we used to. And I know a lot of that was enslaved labor, but you know, like at some point there was a shift where all of the people who were doing one thing had to start doing another thing, right?
So And look, it's amazingly disruptive, and those 3,000 people have lost their jobs, and we can't lose sight of that. But this is what it means when an economy changes.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Anyway. So that's my spiel.
Speaking of big changes, There's so much in the Inflation Reduction Act that I imagine we're going to be unpacking little inserts and nuances for some time to come. But one thing that's in it that I hadn't noticed until I saw this piece in The Hill, but ProPublica has been covering it quite a bit, is that the Inflation Reduction Act requires the IRS of the big bucket of money that it gets in the Inflation Reduction Act to spend $15 million of the $80 billion it's getting to deliver a report on free government-run tax e-filing system that people have been pushing for the longest. And we've covered this a bit on the Tech Show and on Marketplace, the Morning Report and your show and everything. About how the government basically made a deal with the tax filing companies, basically promising not to compete with them. And that ended up getting rolled back later, but the trade-off was that these tax filing companies were supposed to provide free e-filing services for people under certain income levels, right? The people who need the really simple tax returns and don't make that much money should be able to file their taxes for free. But hardly anybody takes advantage of that program because the e-filing companies made it so hard to navigate to the websites where you could do it and made it really confusing. And so most people pay to file their taxes, even though they don't have to. And so this would require the IRS to you know, at least study how the U.S. can join most of the rest of the developed world and have a free way for people to file taxes if people have to file taxes at all. In some countries, you don't have to file a return. They just say, like, we've collected your taxes. Here's a rundown of what you paid us. And, you know, if there are any discrepancies, here you go. Now, granted, we have this convoluted system of, like, tax credits and deductions and all these other things. So for some people, it makes sense. But there are a lot of people where the tax return is kind of like this extra step. So the IRS is about to spend $15 million to look into it.
I would sign up for a government-issued tax return in a bleeping heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Honest to Pete. Honest to Pete. I really would.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, it would just save people so much stress, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I did my taxes. I paid to, you know, use one of these services.
Yep.
And I still somehow messed up on something. And I got this letter from the IRS, which is like, you did this wrong and your deduction doesn't match up with this such and such, and you need to send us back these forms corrected, you know, in this amount of time. And I was just
I don't understand what
I've done wrong. And then I just was confused, and then I had anxiety about it, and I just kind of ignored it for a couple of months.
I hear you.
And then so they delayed my refund. They're like, we're not going to give you your refund until you fix this. And so I kind of ignored it for a couple of months. And then, like, I got my refund, and it was less than I thought it was going to be. But I guess they solved the problem themselves. And I was like, bet. I'm sure it's fine. I hope it's fine.
Yep.
But I would much rather them have fixed it on their end without me sending in the documentation than, you know, like, whatever it is I was supposed to do. You know, but I imagine a lot of people are like that because the government probably has a lot more information on my taxes than I do.
Yes. Yeah, the government, that's the thing. The government knows.
Yes.
The government knows. And look, you and I are, I would imagine, I certainly am, and I imagine you are too, a fairly run-of-the-mill taxpayer.
Yes.
And there are many people in this country in the upper reaches who have extremely convoluted tax returns. But for most Americans, I'm sure the government knows exactly how much they make, exactly how much the credit ought to be, exactly how much X, Y, and Z are.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness. And I'll bet you compliance would be higher too. If somebody just mailed me a freaking tax form and said, here you go, this is what we figure, and
let
here's
us
your
know
math,
something's
and we'll
wrong.
right. Sign and get it back. You know, compliance would probably go way up.
I'm sure it would.
Shouting into the wind. All right.
All right. Good time to smile.
Let's. Yes. Okay. The James Webb Space Telescope is back.
Yes.
And it's got more cool pictures. So there's a picture of Jupiter, which the James Webb Space Telescope has taken. And let's remember, that thing went a million miles, not the other way, but certainly outside the solar system, and turned around and pointed its camera back at Jupiter. And Oh My Lord. You can see the Aurora Borealis on Jupiter and the Aurora Australis? I don't know, the Southern Lights. Anyway, and some rings around Jupiter and some of its tiny moons. Super cool picture. And we're going to put it on the show page. And it's amazing. It's crazy.
I like the scale of space always stuns me. And one of the... Oh...
That's the other story that I have in there. That's cool, actually. So explain what that is. That's super cool.
Yes. Okay, so this is the other space story, which is that NASA has also shared the sound of a black hole. Because, you know, there's this saying, you know, in space no one can hear you scream and whatever and all that stuff. Yes. But there is still sound in space. It just can't go anywhere, like, because let me just read what NASA Exoplanets Twitter account says.
There you go.
The misconception that there is no sound in space originates because most of space is a vacuum, providing no way for sound waves to travel. A galaxy cluster has so much gas that we've picked up an actual sound. Here it is, amplified and mixed with other data to hear a black hole. So one more time.
That's so cool.
It's so cool, right? That like most of space is silence, but there is sound there. And I just thought that was so amazing to hear it. So, you know, NASA is just like on a little tear, isn't it?
They are.
All their cool stuff they're doing.
Got the Artemis stuff going on too.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
But back to the Jupiter thing, like one detail of that is just so amazing to me. So there's a really good picture of the great red spot in this image. Within the image, you can really see it. It shows up as white just because of the way that the sunlight is reflecting. But the great red spot, you know, it's got this, it's a massive storm, right? And it's got winds of more than like 250 miles an hour. But just that storm is 1.3 times the diameter of Earth.
Yeah.
So think about it. It's a planet-sized storm. Think about the scale of that. Anyway, that's just super cool also, although, you know, scary. And then my last make me smile is something courtesy of the Discord community where somebody shared this, which is a Twitter account that posted a video of the guy who played Biff Tannen on Back to the Future.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah. And he's written a song about answering the same fan questions for 30 years.
God. That's great.
And he sings the questions that he gets and he answers them. And he's like, you can stop asking me these questions. It's really funny, quite entertaining. I recommend that you listen to him sing it. And also, if you want to see what Tom Wilson, who played Biff Tannen, looks like now. There you go.
Oh, man. Yeah. Wow. That's great. That's good stuff. All right. And on that note, we're out here. We're doing money in this midterm election cycle, what we know so far. We're going to talk about that a little bit. The election is something less than 90 days away. Mm-hmm. So join us, please.
Yeah. And if you have questions about sort of money in politics, well, money in elections specifically, send those to us. If you have comments, please keep them as clear of profanity as you can when talking about money in politics. You can send those to us. Our email is makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can call and leave us a voice message, 508-UB-SMART. As Amy pointed out, it's the letter U and the letter
B. I know. She totally was right. I gave her a hard time. She's like, no, they couldn't be words. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's program is engineered by Juan Carlos Dorado.
Our senior producer is Bridget Bodner, and the director of On Demand is Donna Tam. Got to meet Juan Carlos for the first time today.
Oh, yeah.
In real life, that is. Hi, Juan Carlos. He's waving at me. Hi. I'd wave at you, too, if you were here.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.